Welcome to East Meets West, episode 377. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
Do you remember that brief time in East Meets West history when we toyed around with a cold open? Instead of
yes,
doing the
Yes, I think we did that initially, and then we got lazy and said, we'll just talk.
Well, no, I remember doing it at the house that I lived in before this one. So I know we tried it for a while recently, at least within the last
few years. Yes.
Vaguely. I don't remember how we opened the show, like, at the very beginning.
We just talked about who we are, and then did we have music initially? No, yeah, we've always had that music.
We've always had the music. I think that's been there from the very beginning.
It's so hard to remember. It's so long ago.
So long ago. Yeah, you have to go to subbrilliant.com/blog /East Meets West. Well, I don't even know if /East Meets West works. I think you just go to subbrilliant.com/blog and then click on the East Meets West category to get to the first like 15 episodes.
Yes. There's Are secrets. You sweltering? Actually, last night was nice. Yes.
Calmed down last night. Definitely.
I'm hoping it stays that way because I know I live in Southern California, but I don't want to live.
Perfect. There we go. All right.
Nice way to start.
This is the very beginning.
Let me
of
put
the first
down
episode.
This roach.
We didn't have music.
This is Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And
how come your voice sounds so high pitched?
Probably the mic we were using. Yeah.
It's like it actually feels that the it's being played at it's slightly higher.
So we didn't have the music at the very beginning.
No, I guess not. That was the future of podcasting back then. You just talked, and maybe someone would listen. Oh, my ear. I cranked it up too high. So, how's your weekend been going?
Like you said, kind of hot during the day. Yeah. I was just listening to This Week in Science, and they were saying that negotiations are more aggressive when it's hot.
Yes.
When people are hot. People get more aggressive. There's been a study. I know you say yes, that makes sense. That's kind of conventional wisdom, right? But there's been a recent study where they actually tested like the temperature effect of a room on negotiations, and they're like, yeah, absolutely, we can show that when the temperature gets hotter, people get more aggressive in their negotiations.
I'm wondering because high temperature affects the ability of the human body. Like, was it over 80 degrees or something? People aren't as productive or something like that. I remember, So I'm wondering because, the common solution to deal with a lot of heat and cooling down the building is just like, crank up the AC. But that uses power, generates even more heat because it's dumping the heat outside.
Yeah. I mean, with solar power coming... for homes, I'm thinking particularly, maybe for smaller offices, I don't know, but the power part isn't that big of a deal, especially out here where we're in sunny land.
But it's
right?
still dumping. It's you're still dealing
you're
with.
Still you're still pushing that heat out, which that's an odd thing to think about, right? It's like, well, wait, the heat was there already. It's not like the air conditioning creates heat. It's just taking heat that was absorbing from the air. Wouldn't that heat have already been out there without the air conditioning? And I guess it's the concentration of the heated air.
Well,
causes the increase as you push the heat out of the house that then further that heats.
Yeah. You create what they call heat islands, especially in urban areas where the buildup of cement, concrete, and, other materials that essentially just act as a heat sink and they take the heat
and then they re-radiate it rather than absorbing it.
And okay. The idea,
right,
and
that makes sense.
And the idea with
so your air conditioner is doing the same thing to an extent. Instead of absorbing the heat, it's preventing it from being absorbed.
Or you're shifting where it gets absorbed. The idea, however, is to build a passive cooler where you build a building that doesn't absorb the heat. In fact, it just kind of reflects it back, ideally back into through the atmosphere.
Which
back
actually
into space.
Solar panels would help with because solar panels are absorbing the heat and turning it into energy. meaning that it's not then heating the house, right?
Well, I was reading this little article.
Heat up the house because they're making the energy.
Cool. On the BBC, talking about, like, you know, the heat wave in Europe, and specifically how Britain is trying to cope, because mm-hmm. Britain's buildings weren't designed to deal with heat. They were designed to keep the heat in.
Historically in Britain, right.
Not
a lot, anyway.
But they gave a lot of examples. For example, that long eaves, like basically, you know, where your roof line goes beyond the house and creates basically a veranda around your home.
Right.
And that limits the amount of exposure that goes through your windows.
Well, because it's just shade, right?
Yeah. Not just shade, but it's shade away from the window, as opposed to have just a reflective mylar material in the window. By having that,
you're reflecting.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the color of the tiles of your eaves. If you have black eaves, wouldn't that just absorb?
Well, you
the
can
heat?
Make it with a material,
but I wouldn't send it through the windows.
It's kind of like putting your car under a car park versus just putting it in the sun and then putting like a bunch of shade things in the window.
Yeah.
And the other thing,
the same effect with awnings.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, you can have awnings as well. You can totally do awnings. Oh. Well, they were describing architectural techniques.
Right.
I don't think awnings.
Which is weird. It's weird for me to think that, because eaves are not terribly common in the houses here in Los Angeles.
No.
Which you think they would be if they made things cooler, right? You think we'd be all about eaves here. But I guess it's a temperate climate. It's not a hot climate in Los Angeles.
It's not a hot climate, and depending on where you're at, some people might not like the amount of space they take up as opposed to living space, right? Why would you, for some people, why would you sacrifice the additional, you know, 100 square feet on the front just for these things, when you can push the building out a little bit more and get a little more space inside.
It's not like eaves take ground space. They take space above.
Well, yeah, but you need posts to hold them up, right?
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
And the other thing that they were mentioning were smaller windows. Like, everyone wants these large, kind of very expansive windows to make it feel like you're outside, even though you're inside.
Another thing very common in Los Angeles,
yes.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Or Palm Springs. Palm Springs, one of the hottest places that people live in around here. All the houses have these huge windows. Yeah.
This is the thing. This is what everyone wants, but when you look at the effect on the overall climate or temperature of your home, not necessarily the smartest way to go.
I want to resist that a little bit, because that's snap logic. I don't know that it's I would characterize it as a bunch of idiots running around building houses that look good without realizing that it's going to heat up their house. Because when I was in Palm Springs and we briefly were looking at not seriously to buy, but we were just curious, all of the houses that are for sale there make a point of telling you the orientation. And I was like, wait, why is that? They're like, well, because the heat comes from the sun and the orientation of the house makes a difference how hot your house is. And a lot of those ground to floor windows were on the side away from the sun.
Yes, that's it's very interesting. Like, you know, the way you build your home, but also if you have any kind of natural shading, like if you have trees, like, you know, one reason why communities like trees is because they provide shade,
right?
Not just for your car. But yeah. I mean, I used, before I bought my house, there used to be one on the sidewalk until someone ran into it trying to do a drift around the curb. So now there's just a little sapling that's growing into a tree. But I can imagine it was larger, it would actually cool that side of the house, which gets kind of hot right now during the summer because it's.
Do you take your kids out there and take pictures of them next to the saplings so that you could watch them grow over time together?
No.
You should do that.
I use Google Maps or Street View and watch the tree slowly.
To chart how your children grow?
Listen, I'm not one of those.
Missing my point here.
Yeah, like, I understand.
You could have a picture every year of your kids getting bigger and the tree getting bigger.
Things. It's
and
like
then
drawing the little
lines. When
you're
like 75, you can sit back. You can put all those photos together with Cat Stevens or Harry Chapin songs in the background and cry.
Wait a minute. Is that something your parents did? Like put you against the door and mark the wall?
Oh yeah, no, my parents did actually. My parents, because my mom was a bit of a clean freak, had a chart that they put on the wall that they marked our height against. They didn't want to mark up the actual wall.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should. Maybe when my...
I like the... I all kidding aside, I like the idea of you having this sapling that you just planted.
Well, I mean, I should call it a sapling, but it's still...
Yeah, but then taking pictures and you'll see the tree get bigger and the kids get bigger. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you're so sentimental. It's only Sunday.
What does Sunday have to do with it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a Sunday morning. This is part of the day I should be sleeping in. But you have to wake up early, not just to do the podcast, because you're going to go to the Natural History Museum so you can see all the dinosaur skeletons.
Oh, nice.
Or I shouldn't say skeletons, reproductions of
skeletons. What prompted that?
Well, we got this... This kind of all-inclusive pass for going to the zoo. You spend like X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
And then you get to go to the aquarium and the natural history museum as well.
Where's the aquarium? Which aquarium is it?
It's the one by the ocean.
In Santa Monica?
I think it's the Santa
Beach. Because the Long Beach one's really good. I don't know about Santa Monica.
I think that's the big one, right? Yeah. It was the one with the Valentines. That's all I remember. There's a big blue whale mock-up
I think that's the Long
lobby.
Beach one. Did you drive to Long Beach to see it?
I don't remember. I just drove. It's all a drive to me from where I live.
It's because you don't use navigation.
It's a crutch. Just tell me which highway and I'll get there and I'll look for the sign.
I guess coming from where it makes a difference to me because one was really close to my old house and one was farther. But for you, it's far either way. So,
it's interesting because when I used to live in San Francisco, I kind of knew like, I'll go down to Monterey. Here, it's like, well, you know, there's more than one option for some of these things.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, which one do you want to go? Which one's closer, but which one's better? Yeah. Right, and it's not necessarily which is closer, which is just faster to get.
Also, in your case, which one was covered by that all-inclusive pass?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the LA Zoo is pretty cool compared to the SF Zoo, but you know there is still only one zoo that I can think of, unless I go down to San Diego in the Wild Animal Park.
San Diego Zoo is the famous one out here. LA Zoo, I never really knew anything about till I went there.
We went there for the Christmas lights.
Yeah, for the lights in the zoo.
Yeah, and then most of the animals were sleeping at the time.
Did you know there is a teaching zoo up in Simi Valley?
Teaching zoo?
Yeah.
Who do they teach, the animals or the people?
I think it's for zoologists.
Oh.
And then there's the Barnyard Zoo out in East LA.
Barnyard. Wait, is that someone just took their farm and turned it into a...
There's the Orange County Zoo.
Orange County Zoo.
The Santa Ana Zoo. There's two in Orange County. The Santa Ana Zoo and the Orange County Zoo. There's a reptile zoo in Irvine. Wow. There's a lot more.
The reptile zoo in Irvine just sounds like someone who had a lizard collection that got too much, or reptile collection decided to open the zoo.
There's a zoo out in Big Bear, the Alpine Zoo.
Big Bear, huh? I mean, that's such a seasonal location.
Well, not for the animals. They live all year round.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, how do you maintain it? It must be inexpensive to run.
People go. I've actually only been to Big Bear in the summer. People go there and just vacation because you can do hiking and stuff.
All I know is Big Bear ski season. Yeah.
But that's all you know. That doesn't mean it's all they do.
It's where everyone tries to escape from the jury of urban living in L.A.
Well, that's every vacation spot, right? Everywhere people go is escaping wherever they're from to see something else. So, yeah, you can go to these ski. In fact, I have never been to a ski resort in the winter. I've been to Tahoe several times. I've been to Snowbird in Utah several times. I've been to Big Bear. I've been to another one. What's the other one I've been to? But I have never been to them in the winter. I've only been there in the summer.
I've been to one in the winter, but
they're too crowded in the winter.
Well, when I went, it was busy, but it wasn't Cheek and Jowl. I mean, granted, it was like the early 90s, but it wasn't like, you know. I think part of it has to do with the fact that the internet has made awareness of a lot of these locations easier to find as people research. Like, oh, I can look online to see where we were going to take our next vacation.
I don't know that that really has much of an effect in general.
You don't think?
No, I mean, I think that can make some popular things more popular, but that was also true before the internet, right? And it was like, oh, I read in the newspaper that this thing happens and then everybody rushes there. I think the general availability of information would probably lower popularity or busyness because people would realize other options that they have, don't you think?
I don't know. I'm not a travel agent.
I think things that get really crowded got really crowded because people are like, well, that's the one I know about. That's the one I've heard everyone talking about. But in the internet, you can actually search around and go, oh, did you know there's this other one I can go to? Because it's not like the internet created more people.
Well, no, I'm not saying it created. I'm just created awareness.
More options.
Well, I mean, like, Burning Man.
I'm thinking
Man
of it mathematically, right? Like, I don't think the internet increased the number of vacations taken, right? It didn't increase the number of people. So instead of people all going to the same place because that's all they knew, the internet increases the awareness of other places, diluting people and spreading them out across different places.
I think the internet allows an intersection of people who suddenly have increased disposable income and where to spend it.
But you think the internet increased disposable income?
No. I said the intersection of people with increased disposable income
but
with
the internet.
But then
the internet is, again, the internet isn't actually increasing people going to a single place.
Well, no, I'm saying that the information
awareness means more people know about more places, which then spreads them out more, meaning it should be less crowded.
Well, I'm just saying that more people know about a location than would have previously been the case.
Right.
That's,
and before,
that's all I'm saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying. More people will know about more locations, not just one location.
Well, it's not knowing about more locations doesn't necessarily move the needle. But if it's something that's already accessible, you're more likely to head to it, right?
Like, but you would head somewhere before anyway.
Well, yeah, but it would have not been that location.
And so you would go where?
Well, you would have chosen a different option. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Which option?
Well, it depends because if people didn't know about a certain locale before.
And so all the people, so if in general people didn't know about another location before, then they would all go to the same collection of locations because those are the ones that had the most awareness, making them crowded.
Yeah, but all those places that they didn't know about that wasn't generally well known. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You're saying that some places got more people than they used to. But I'm saying also that has the effect of making crowded places potentially less crowded because those people that used to go there now go to these other places.
I've never said, give me a case where a place that used to be wildly popular becomes slightly less popular because
and that's why I don't think the internet is what has any effect on any of this.
I think everywhere is
more crowded because there's more people.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that if people didn't know that something like that exists in the first place, they wouldn't have come, right?
Right. They would have gone to somewhere else, making it crowded.
Well, that location crowded, yes,
yeah.
But not the place you were at I was at.
So what I'm saying is it's the number of people that's making places more crowded. Because if you had the same number of people, then the more crowded places would get less crowded. And then the unknown places would get relatively more crowded, but not crowded.
Nothing you're saying disproves what I just said, is that the internet basically alerted people that this location exists.
I thought, maybe I misunderstood, that you were saying that places are more crowded now because of the internet.
Yes, in a way, yeah, because with awareness that a location exists, people will try to visit there if it's something that they want to see.
But I'm saying that the reason they're more crowded is not because of the internet. It's because of the fact that there's more people.
All I'm saying is that there's an intersection of data and knowledge that comes from that this place is around, combined with more people with disposable income who want to go places. That's it. I'm not suggesting the internet alone is the reason for.
I don't think it's a significant factor in increasing crowds. That's all I'm saying.
We'll both open our resorts and we'll see.
Because I don't think people equally spread. They still go to the popular place, even if they're aware of all these other zoos.
But cheap airfares have allowed.
Again, go into what you said earlier. It's not about going to all the zoos. It's about going to the best zoo. And the best zoo was probably the one that was more popular because that one was making more money. So again, the internet doesn't change that.
I disagree.
Well,
I think,
of course you do.
Oh yeah. Oh no. Like. Like, I remember, like, this is the thing, like, Hawaii has always been a very touristy destination,
yes,
but a huge volume, at least the way I understood it, for people were at the well-known Oahu, Waikiki, all the kind of thing. But there has been an increase of visitors to a lot of the less visited locations of the state, and... I personally believe that it's because people now have more information to make, like, well, you know, we could visit this part. We could visit this part of the Big Island.
I don't think that has much of an effect. Because there was plenty of information about, I mean, just talking about Hawaii, there was plenty of information about Hawaii.
Was there? There were personal testimonials about what they were doing on this island.
I don't think that's the determinative factor, though. I think what causes more people to visit more parts of the island is they're like, man, Waikiki's just so crowded. Is there any other option? Let me go look around. And it's, again, because of more people.
Well, no, yeah, but more options. People would know
but
what the
options
were
there before, and they were perfectly
easy
to discover.
Yeah, but they didn't
discover.
Know about them. That's
yeah,
the
they
thing.
Did.
That's what I'm saying.
You're presuming a level of ignorance prior to the internet that didn't exist.
It's not ignorance. It's just... access the information.
Yeah, they had access to the information. You could go to a travel agent. You could go to a guidebook. You could read the newspaper. There's all kinds of information.
I'm just saying.
Travel magazines probably had a bigger effect on sending people because travel magazines always wanted to show you the unseen location, the cool location.
Was it? I thought travel magazines made most of their money by referring,
editorials. Yeah, no, absolutely. And the way you get people interested in responding to that editorial is make it sound like you're getting a thing that no one else knows about. That was a common thing. It still is in travel magazines.
So
I think this is an interesting hypothesis that could be studied.
I'm curious. Tom, the World Traveler, associates that the information was there regardless of accessibility
to
everyone.
No, I'm not saying the information was the same. I think the increase in access to information brought about by the internet had a minimal effect on increasing crowds, and that the increase in population, the increase in the ability to travel and travel fares and increase of flights are the determinative factors increasing crowds.
What I said was that the accessibility of information via the internet intersected with the reduction.
I just don't think it's a very significant.
I think it's a lot more significant than you want to let on.
Well, I'm not letting on. It's a simple estimation.
Is Kanye Nast like providing you just the?
You sort of what? Why would that? Why would that even fit into this? Why would my position on internet information affect
the information's
benefit
everything.
Or not benefit Kanye Nast? They don't care.
Well, aren't they a publisher?
Yeah,
they would
have no stake in either one of us being right. They're like, as long as people travel, we don't care whether Roger or Tom is right.
Well, as long as people travel and buy our travel magazines to go along with it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they might be paying you to push this conversation so we spend more time talking about travel. Or is Condé Nast paying you, Roger?
Maybe. Well, all I know is I'm going to be traveling to the Natural History Museum in a couple hours.
You have to disclose if they're paying you or not.
I, I, I wish they were paying me. How's that?
Cotton asks, please contact Roger.
Please.
Have you done any research in what's at the Natural History Museum?
Yes. I just remember the dinosaurs' bones were the big ones.
Yeah, most Natural History Museum have good dinosaurs.
And then there are some smaller children's stuff, but I think Ellie is going to probably gravitate because I don't think, other than the little dinosaur exhibition they had at the state fair or the county fair last year, I don't think she seemed like a life-sized mock-up. Granted, it'd all just be bones or bone replicas, skeletons. But I think it should be cool. I mean, it's weird because when we brought her to the aquarium, she wasn't too, like, impressed. Like, look at all the fish. Look at the sharks. Like, eh. She did like the penguins.
Really? She was like,
because penguins are something she sees, there are a lot in children's books, right? Like tigers and horses, like, you know, penguins are a staple because they look like they walk like people and they look like they're in tuxedos.
So you're going down by the California Academy of Sciences, too. But I guess your pass doesn't get you in.
It just said the Jen said the natural. I should look at the.
Well, Natural History Museum is in Expo Park next to the LA Coliseum and the California Academy of Sciences and all that stuff. They're all. It's like a little museum park down there by USC.
Is that the one where the tar pits?
No, the tar pits are up by the Grove.
Remember the tar pits? I was kind of unimpressed.
The tar pits are very academic, right?
Yes.
They're oversold. I was the same way. The first time I ever visited the tar pits was like 1996. And I was like, oh, that's it?
Like
it's kind of an archaeological site. And then once I readjusted my brain, I was like, okay, this is still cool, like all the stuff they found. But it's not Flintstones, right? You don't walk up and see bubbling tar.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like, ooh, you get to see a tar pit. And
like, it's like, well, you can see pulling what things used to be a tar pit. Yeah,
she had more fun outside scaling the hill because the tar pits exhibit is built into a mound, it's in the ground, so they built a mound around it.
There's a cool little museum. Did you go in that tar pit museum?
Yes.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there.
Ellie was very unimpressed. She wanted to go back outside and run up the hill and slide back down.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's her age. There's a Natural History Museum. The Space Shuttle Endeavor is in the Academy of the California Science Museum. I keep calling it the Academy of Sciences. That's the one in San Francisco. But
Academy of Science. I don't like. Is that
the Science Museum has the Endeavor, which is right next door to the Natural History Museum. There's the California African American Museum. There's the Coliseum, and then there's a Chick-fil-A.
I got to bring the card.
Yeah,
the card you gave me.
Oh yeah, you guys can get Chick-fil-A for lunch.
Yeah, I'm not a. This is the thing. I don't really go into the like. Oh, it's a Chick-fil-A. It's an In-N-Out. It's a Five Guys. It's like.
What are you trying to say? What do you mean?
I'm very unmoved by a lot of these fast food.
You don't like any of them.
No, it's not that I don't like any of them. I think they're overrated.
You
I like In-N-Out, but I think
you
overall,
don't like them enough to get excited about them. That's all you're saying.
Well, okay. I seem to be
implying that other people are a little dumb for being excited for the thing they like.
I'm not saying that they're dumb. Okay. I just think they set the bar really low.
Well, or maybe they just have different tastes than you.
Could be.
And when I say they, I mean me.
Yes.
Because I feel like you feel about some fast food that people get excited about.
This is the thing. I'm not a.
But
I
do like a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and I do like In-N-Out.
But
that's just personal taste. It's the same thing as movies and TV shows, right? Like, just because I like something, I shouldn't expect that you like it and that you're wrong if you don't. But and vice versa. Just because I like something doesn't mean I'm dumb for liking it or have low standards.
I don't like Harry Potter, and I tell very few people that I don't like because Harry Potter is wildly popular with most people.
But you shouldn't say that it's bad or that people have low standards for liking it any more than I should say that you have no taste for not liking it because it's just taste.
Well, and I have taste buds. Perhaps other people don't.
No,
I don't.
See, now you're doing the thing where you're denigrating somebody for not liking the same thing you do.
Am I, Tom?
Yes, you are.
Just setting a standard.
At least we both like whatchamacallits.
Ah, those are good. You know, I think those are the, I believe those are the prototype for like so many power bars on the market, because they all have that very similar consistency.
The toasted rice thing, yeah. Yeah, it could be. Could be. Well, thank you everyone for joining us again. I hope you've enjoyed our travel episode, our travel special.
And check online to see if there are places that you haven't been before and overcrowd them.
Yeah, and then go there and singularly overcrowd them, because now you're more people than you used to be.
And take a photo and send it to us. And
so brilliant.com/EMW to find out how. Talk to you next time.
Bye.